Hey y'all, this is Ginger DeVries, guest number 56 of the podcast, encouraging you today to use your position to broadcast God's love. God's word says, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We pray this episode is an encouragement to you to go out and use your position to broadcast his love. From Scotto All Britain Studios, here's your host, Ricky.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Broadcast His Love. This is a podcast where we talk about what life looks like when we decrease our name and increase God's name, because it's all about Jesus living life on purpose with him. And today I am smiling from ear to ear because we're walking into a conversation today that is a conversation you want to have a posture of peace, seeking the Lord, seeking his face, and also a posture of praise for what he's done in your life, for what he's done in your family's life, for how he's taken care of you, provided for you, how he's been faithful. And someone who's done that really well in 2024 is Lynn Moyer. She is a gift to all of us from God. She's a friend of my sister-in-law's, Sydney, in Atlanta. And she's the founder and CEO of Luminate Marketing and the Luminate Foundation, which is a huge deal. We're going to find out a little bit more information about it because they've been doing some big things for Jesus. And she's an award-winning strategist for churches and nonprofits. So quite the title, a really fun title, but also a really fun person. So hey, Lynn.
Hey, Ricky.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast again. I can't believe this is our second time together.
I know. Okay, so the first time you just mic dropped every sentence. So, I'm so grateful that you wanted to come back on again because I need this. Like, I feel like the Lord sent you to me just to have Lynn to like be an encouragement, be a voice, like a life-giving voice. And so you just had a really big thing. I don't want to like spoil the surprise. I want you to share it.
The funny thing is, so I don't know if you know this, but right before you texted me and reached out, I had just like 48 hours prior had coffee with Sydney. And she said, man, like there's just so much flowing out of you from the, you know, the trip that you just took and the decisions that you made. I think you should talk to Ricky and maybe maybe you guys could do a podcast together. So then when you reached out, I was like, oh, Sydney must have, you know, reached out to Ricky. And then I texted Sydney and I was like, hey, thanks for the, you know, prompt. I was going to reach out. And she's like, I didn't reach out. And I was like, whoa, God reached out to all three of us separately. That's so cool.
Well, the Lord goes before us. And time again, I've learned that like my, like what I want and what I like strive for, like that isn't always what the Lord wants. But like when he gives you, when he plants seeds of like a person in your brain and like to encourage them to be life-giving, to like be there for them, whatever way that is, if you just act on it, like he does immeasurably more in your life. And so you popped up in my brain. So I texted you, hey girl, what's up? And then you're like, I'm back from this massive trip. I just want to share all about it. But yeah, this is why like you're coming on to like encourage others to rest and to be with the Lord and to, tell us a little bit about what you do first so we can get to know you and then what's going on.
Absolutely. Okay. Thanks, Ricky. So hi, everyone. My name is Lynn Moyer. And like Ricky said, I am the founder and CEO of Luminate Marketing and the Luminate Foundation. Luminate Marketing is a company that spreads the light of Jesus worldwide. We leverage modern marketing channels for Christ's messages and purposes. We serve ministries, churches, and nonprofits only. We don't take on for-profit clients. And we've been doing that for 15 years. So I started the company in 2010. We've been going strong since then. My husband works with me now and a lot of my friends, and it's just been an incredible adventure. The story of it starting is in a book called City of Lights. It's a really fascinating read. We actually started the company doing life alongside a homeless tent community living in downtown Chicago. We could do a whole podcast just on that, but check that out if you want. And then we started 3 years ago, something called the Luminate Foundation. So that is when God blesses you at the ministry and the mission and the business that he's called you to do. And then rather than accumulating all of the wealth, you then would give it back. So sometimes what we have situations now that I joke where You know, people might not think I'm very good at business, that I don't understand it because we make all this money through Luminate marketing and then I give it back away through the foundation, or sometimes I even give it back to the same organizations that hired us to do marketing. So it's almost like they're getting their money back. But you know, God's economy is not the same as the world's economy. And so if it feels backward, we're probably on the right track. I recently checked out your website, Ricky, and I love that you said, it's way better when we magnify his name and not our own.
Yeah.
We're shining light on the Lord for him to get magnified. And we want to do that today, right? Like purely for the listeners of Broadcast His Love. So if you're tuning in today, thank you so much for joining us. We're really excited. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about today was this idea of a sabbatical. So I didn't even really know what a sabbatical is. I thought it was something that pastors take, really, or like missionaries. I didn't know much about taking that as someone that's, you know, working full time in the United States, that's not a full time 501c3 or church ministry worker. But it has been an absolute game changer.
Really? Okay. So when you say sabbatical and work, I'm kind of like hives down my spine. Like, wait, you say what? I mean, where will, I mean, do people know that you leave, or do you just kind of say, be right back? Like, what's the formula for success?
So let me tell you kind of how this even happened, because the first question is, well, should I take a sabbatical?
Yeah.
And why? And then the second question would be like, how and for how long? And
yeah,
how would I even make this work? So like I said, 15 years ago, started the company, all was good, fine and well. We, you know, at one point we were making, you know, $15,000 a year, $20,000 a year. It was just something that I really loved, and I didn't have a side hustle. This was my hustle, my only thing. And then, when I got married to Matt, my husband, Matt, I said, you know, I feel like Luminate's not really taking off. I felt like God gave me this mission, but it doesn't seem to be really thriving the way I had hoped. It's not, you know, becoming this big, bright thing like I had wanted.
Yeah.
And then my husband said, well, what was the original calling? And I said, well, it was to spread the light of Christ. And so we went to the website together and it was pretty watered down. It was like missions brought to light. We spread the light of nonprofits, no mention of God, and definitely no mention of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So we said, well, we should put Jesus on the homepage because it was his idea. And like God honors you and you honor him. Like we really should be putting our stake in the ground. And of course we had fears of, well, what about the people that are non-Christians, or will that scare them away? Or the people that are doing great work for kids and orphanages and worldwide,
yes,
we don't want to miss out on all of that. Well, turns out what happened was we did put our stake in the ground. We did say illuminating the messages of Christ in the world, which even if you go there now, we haven't touched it since. That was 2016. We haven't touched it. Immediately, no joke, within 60 days of making that change, the company like exploded. I mean, it was like I had no company and suddenly we had 250, half a million, a million, 1.2. It just really exploded.
Amazing.
More than I could have ever thought. Yes. Again, like when that happened, we were like, well, that's so wonderful, but it's not just about that, right? So then we opened the foundation, and that ended up being another way that we could steward some of the finances that God was blessing us with. But along this way of it growing so fast, which most people would say, what a great problem to have. You're so busy. You have too much work to handle. That's actually not a great problem to have. That's actually like a really unhealthy problem if
right.
you don't manage it well. I don't know that I did know how to manage it well. About, I don't know, 6-8 months ago, I'm sitting in this meeting in a marketing strategic workshop, which I call them my Super Bowl. Like that's, I live for those. I love those. You're recharting the path of an organization and how they're going to go to market in the course of like an 8-hour day. It's so exciting. Usually I'm up the night before not sleeping because I'm just so excited about it. So we're at this workshop. The whole team is there. Their whole team is there. They've all flown in from all over. It's kind of like a high stakes meeting. You know, it's like, it's an expensive day that they've invested. And I'm sitting there and I don't have any ideas. And I'm not saying anything. And it's not because I'm upset or holding back. I don't have anything left. It's like I'm numb. And then I was just sitting there kind of thinking, what is happening to me? I love these. I love the client. I love my company. What's happening to me? And the only, like afterward, I went and sat in my car before I drove home. And I was just sitting there and I was like, I just don't care anymore. Mm-hmm. And that was a really, really scary place to be. Because if you know me, the thing about me is I care about everything.
Exactly.
So to get to a place where it got so dark that I didn't care anymore, it scared me. And it also, it made me wonder, like, how far down have I gone without noticing all of the red flags along the way? Essentially, I took a couple of days. I'm like, I've got to figure this out. So I signed up for a spiritual retreat. And I'm writing a book about the sabbatical now. It's kind of funny, but looking back, it's like, I wrote down, you know, it's like an addict that isn't ready to commit to full treatment. So they're just going to go to like a 1 day thing. That's what I did. I'm like, well, I'm just going to go to a 1 day retreat. God's going to hook me up. I'm going to be all set after just 1 day of rest. I'll turn my phone off and then I'll be, you know, back to work on Monday morning. What happened was, as God would have it, the timing was perfect. I go to this retreat. I'm sitting there by myself in silence. It's a silent retreat, which was also so weird to be like eating lunch with another 30 people in the same room and no one's talking, but that's a different podcast for a different day. So I'm sitting there by myself at this spiritual retreat. At one point, I kind of just, if you've ever just called out to God and you're just sort of like frustrated and God's your friend and you trust God enough to tell the truth, I was just like, I don't know what I'm doing down here, Lord. I don't know what I'm doing down here. And I felt like all of my thoughts just cleared away and that God just impressed on me, then stop doing. And it just gave me chills. I felt like he was giving me the release that I needed. He was giving me the opportunity to take a step back, to not worry about having to earn my daughterhood, not worrying about trying to worry what people thought of me or if clients would get upset that I took a break or that this thing that I felt that I had worked so hard to build would crumble. God was just like, stop doing. So I did stop doing. I stopped doing for 100 days. And I just came back last week and I'm here to tell you it was quite the ride.
Yeah, well, 100 days. I mean, why 100?
90 days felt like kind of a business thing, you know, like a quarter. And I'm like, well, this isn't a business thing. This is a life thing. So I'm going to stretch it just a little bit further for myself. And this is going to be 100 days. Also, this is kind of cool. There are 100 days this year between Christmas and Easter. And so I was able to sort of chart this path where I, like right after the retreat, we boarded a flight to Paris. We spent Christmas in Paris as like a kicking off point. And then we went to Champagne, France for New Year's. And then we flew back to the United States. And that's really where my trip started. And then Easter Sunday, my first day back was Monday, the day after that.
Wow. That is so cool that the Lord rewarded you by your obedience to him in this really fun way. The hard part is saying, no, I'm not going to work. I mean, people who love to help people like that, that is the hard part. But the fun part is when you go there as you're obeying the Lord, he's rewarding you with Paris. Like, that's so fun.
I mean, it's crazy to think that the Lord would reward rest because we're always thinking about earning, doing, going. But the Lord honors obedience and love for him and the attributes of his character, right? And so, and that happens time and time again in the Bible. It's not like people are being a boss lady and God's like, awesome, good for you, you're the best. It's more like the quiet and humble person that's getting water at the well that he's like, I want to talk to this person. I want to notice this person and I want to help them get back on track. Getting back on track for me was realizing that there was like a race set out for me, right? And I was just running, running, running without any rest. Which I wanted to share, Ricky, I was thinking before we chatted today, I was like, you know, what scripture really highlights this whole concept? And for me, I think it's Hebrews 12. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, which can even be doing, and the sin that so easily entangles, which can be pride, etc., and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. It is a race that we're running and it's pre-marked out for us. Let's just make sure that we aren't running it alone or running it faster than we can keep up with. Mm-hmm. And that we're running it by the power of the Holy Spirit for the purposes of God, not just because we want to do great work for God or have our life be meaningful or to make an impact. Those things are actually not biblical. Loving God is biblical.
Loving God is biblical. Yeah. And before we started recording this, I was just praying because I've seen your Instagram and what you're posting. And for you all who's listening, please check out Lynn on Instagram. Which Instagram do you want them to follow?
Luminate Lynn.
Luminate Lynn. Yeah. Check it out and just see some of the stuff that she's posting about taking a sabbatical, really challenging questions for ourselves as we're communicating with God, having a relationship with Him every day. If this is something that He presses on your heart or just something that you want to learn more about to grow closer to Jesus, I highly recommend following Lynn and checking out this journey, because there will be a book coming, as she said, which I'm really excited for, because as a business owner and someone who loves to work, the idea of like walking away from it all to be with the Lord is like that's like the ultimate trust factor. And you said earlier, if you trust God to tell you the truth, like that was so—
Okay, so let's dive into that, because honestly, when your awesome followers and listeners, when they go to check me out on Instagram, what they're going to see is glaciers, penguins, the Falkland Islands, Argentina, Chile. They're going to see all of the exciting adventures. But what I'd like to highlight today is what you just said, which is it's also really rough, right? Yeah. So part of my sabbatical was 23 days. I traveled solo to 4 different countries, completely alone, never done that before. And 14 days of that trip was me on a ship in a room by myself without any roommate or anything, no internet, no cell phone service. So if you really want to hear from God when everything else is stripped away and there's nothing left to help you feel like you're productive or quote meaningful, or even in some ways like loved by those around you or like people in your family,
yeah,
that really will show you what is left at the bottom of the barrel. And for me, I started asking questions I haven't asked, oh my gosh, honestly, in so long. Do I actually like myself? Do I actually love myself? And do I just like what I produce or what people think of me or what I've been able to accomplish? Or do I actually like myself? Like the kid that I am inside, the person that I am when I'm just sitting with nothing to do and no one to serve and nothing that would be seen as meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
And man, it really takes you to a deep place. And I'm grateful because I was able to lean and press into that. And I, you know, through the teary nights, et cetera, I do think I was able to get to the other side and say, yes, I value myself because God loves me. I have worth because I have breath. I'm not going to continue to like base my worth on what people think of me or what I can accomplish. You know, I was even thinking about, you know, that phrase, you can't be everyone's cup of tea.
Right. Yes.
You know, I realized like most people don't even like the same type of tea. Also, some people don't even like tea. Some people like coffee or they don't want caffeine at all. So then I'm like, how would I be everyone's cup of tea if even people don't like the same kind of tea or tea at all?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's the thing of when you do disconnect, you do these things pop up. And what it does is, to me, it breeds contentment about where you are, where the Lord has you. And it makes you grateful for what He's done in your life to be able to get to this place, to do this thing. I mean, being disconnected and seeing the things that you've seen, God's nature, God's beauty, does it just slow everything down for you?
It slows everything down. And also you see the kindness. I mean, to me, that's the number one thing that happened on this adventure. First of all, I kind of want to do another book just called like Adventure Heals and just like pack it chock full with how important adventure really is, to like never stop living and just be willing to still step out into the unknown and have an adventure. I thought, you know, being by myself and taking a sabbatical would be like, what is that? Do you sleep a lot? Do you take naps? Like, what does rest even mean?
Yeah.
And ironically, the best rest that I experienced was just getting out of my day to day and putting myself in situations that were kind of like difficult and unknown, like currency exchange and navigating, you know, Ubers in a completely different country and trying to figure out how to communicate when I didn't know the language. It put me in a place that was isolated where I actually felt closer to God and I was able to experience His kindness. The other thing that I found is interesting is the best way for us to be kind to other people, it's all wrapped in together, is to not be in a hurry. I have like become so much more kind not being in a hurry. There was a moment where I was sitting in Argentina. This was one of my last nights of Buenos Aires. And I got a Starbucks and I was just sitting outside a famous cemetery in Argentina and listening to a street performer. He was just had a guitar, one microphone, and he was singing. And I like was sitting there just enjoying my day. It's sunny and, you know, I don't have anything else to do. And I'm traveling, you know, I'm traveling by myself. I don't have any plans. So I'm just sitting there. And I looked up and realized I had been sitting there for 45 minutes. And that's when I realized I feel like I'm ready to go home. I feel like I've accomplished what I came here to do because I've finally learned how to slow down enough that, you know, I went up and talked to the street performer for a while and used Google Translate and told them I thought their music was beautiful. And you know, it was just such a fun connection. And he wanted to know like kind of where we're from, what we do in Atlanta and what brought me on my trip. And he wanted to hear about the sabbatical, you know, and then I stayed and talked to him for a while and just, I was able to see people and experience life in such a more present way when I wasn't thinking about what I had to do later or who I had to call or my next thing. I mean, I know that that's not realistic for us every day to just not have any type of an agenda, but I do think that the overpacking of the schedule and always being on a hurry to run this errand and go here and meet up with this person, I don't know that that's the best way. And I don't know that that's the way that I want to go back to living.
Yeah, I have a friend who shared it with me like this. Each day is the Lord's day. It's the Lord's day. It's his day. You know, he has plans for your life and you surrender all your plans to him. You know, his ways are higher. So he has the perfect to-do list for your life. Mm-hmm. And so just asking him, Lord, show me the vision that you have for my life. Reveal to me what you would like me to do today. What's in your will for my life? I mean, you already have a plan. Like the plan is set for everybody out there. Like God knew you before you were born. The plan is set. I want to tune into your will for my life today to do what you want me to do. And if you see it with those lenses through his eyes, you know, praying for God's vision in your life to do what he wants you to do that day, all of a sudden, the things that don't matter or are causing a little bit of chaos or too much tension, they start to easily fall off the to-do list because it's like, ooh, that gives me stress. Ooh, I'm not walking with the Lord. You know, it's like, let's pray about this and see what he thinks and what he wants. One of the things that I wanted to mention is you were just talking about like waiting or not waiting, not being in a hurry. And that is something that the Lord has been really speaking to me about because I do, like, if I can squeeze one more thing in real quick, because it's on my to-do list to do today, to get done, you know, before I leave the house or whatever, that would make everything in my day so much better. And that's why I'm bringing up this whole conversation of just like seeking the Lord. It's his day. But in James chapter 5, verses 10 through 11, I just want to read it really quick to you all. It says, brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. And like Job lost everything. He still had faith in God, but he lost everything. And remembering that the Lord is full of compassion and mercy and that Job did persevere. I just think in the hurry, in the rush, in whatever is popping up in your brain right now, to give it to the Lord and knowing, like you said earlier, this is a race and we are, our end game is in heaven. Like Jesus is coming back. And so if we can just pause, know who God is, know that he is full of compassion and mercy, like we can, I want to say like kickstart the day so much strongly because our foundation is so much more firm. It's not in a hurry. It's with the Lord. It's at his pace. It's in a rhythm, you know?
100%. It makes me think almost of like, you know, the marathon runners where they're stopping and they're not doing a full stop when they need a Gatorade. They're running and the volunteers hand them a Gatorade. And sometimes even the volunteers are awesome and they're like running a little bit so the person can like, you know, grab the Gatorade and keep going. Yeah. That's how I feel like the race is meant to be run. I don't think we're supposed to, you know, chug a bunch of Gatorade and try and run an entire marathon without any water, without any sustenance, without even any sugar to keep our bodies going. It's like, what does it look like for us to run this race set out for us? And we are so in tune with the Holy Spirit and running alongside of God, behind God and alongside of God, not in front of him. What would it be like to just reach over and always have that Holy Spirit, the nutrients available, that Gatorade to keep us going? And even just to recognize, like, without God, the race is not even something we would have wanted to do or signed up for. Like the whole point of
exactly.
the race is, you know, is to end up, I guess for me, it comes down to just like we were just saying, that whole idea of God, show me what you want me to do today. Mm-hmm. For me, after the sabbatical, now I really feel like, I don't even know if it's that. It's more like, God, show me who you want me to be today. You know?
Yeah. Amen.
Because I don't even know if it's like, hey, you know, it's your day off or you're working remote. Why don't you go to the grocery store and notice the person that's there and talk with them? That's still human made. That's still a to-do item.
Yeah.
But if I say, God, please show me who you want me to be today, I really think if I'm open to it, God will work through me. And maybe it's something I wouldn't even have thought of. It's, you know, he's the answer to every question, right? So it's like,
right.
God, show me what to do today. Be with me. Well, God, show me who you want me to be today. Be like me. So it's like, if we're living life with God, from God, like God, that's the answer. That's how you run the race and you don't get tired.
And the beautiful thing about what you just said is it goes back to caring. It makes you more caring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before we were talking about, I don't care. You know, we get to the place with work when we get burnout of we're exhausted. I don't care anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That is when we lay everything at the foot of the cross and we pick up, you know, his cross, pick up your cross and follow me. What that means is like laying down all of our selfish ambitions, everything that would hinder us from walking with the Lord, drinking that Gatorade, running the race with Jesus. Man, I mean, it takes surrender in our brain, sacrifice. Like, it's not even a sacrifice. Like, when we think about what God has done for us, like, all to him we owe. Once we pick up his glasses or like his Gatorade or, you know, whatever is fueling you to see things his way, it makes us more caring and that we're not operating out of our own flesh, but out of his strength, you know?
Yeah, totally. And it's like, God, what do you care about? Like, we can be honest with God, right? God's honest with us. We can be honest with God. God, I don't care right now. Let's say we say that about work or whatever it is. I don't care. What do you care about? And God will tell us what he cares about. And we can rest on that. We can float in that. When we don't know what to care about, we can go to someone that we love, God, our creator, and the best friend we're ever going to get, and just say, what do you care about? I'm going to care about that today, because I may not actually in the flesh care, but if you care and I care about you, that's going to get me through the day.
Do you mind if I go back to one more thing that you said earlier?
Please.
I'm like bouncing back in the conversation. I'm sorry, but it was just so powerful. I'm like, I don't think you just realized what you just said, but maybe you do, but you said, put Jesus on the homepage. Like, you put Jesus on the homepage. Everything in me wants to name this podcast, put Jesus on your homepage. But I'm just like, it's true. When we surrender all and say, no, Jesus, you get the top slot. Your name be glorified. To you be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Put Jesus on your homepage.
Right.
That is huge.
Not to be weird, like from a marketing perspective, but the homepage gets the most views. It's gonna have hopefully a lower bounce rate than your other pages. There's a longer time on page on your homepage because people are trying to find out the who we are, what you do. It's the first stop. Unless you're coming from a direct link or a Google ad or something, it's gonna be your first organic stop. So the homepage is so important. What would it look like for Jesus to be the homepage of our entire lives? He's the first step in. It's the first invitation that we give people. It's how they see us. They see us through the lens of the homepage. And with Jesus right at the top, it's not, hey, meet me, fill in the blank. And I am this, I've done this, I know these people.
Mm-hmm.
What if it's spreading the light of Christ? That's your invitation. That's your headline at the very top of your homepage of your life.
Yeah. And going back to, the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. And that's who he calls us to be as well. You know, we're made in his image as children of God. When we accept Jesus into our hearts, you know, we're called by God to do really cool things. And to be honest, really fun things for his glory.
Mm-hmm.
And being that homepage is another fun thought to add with it. When you're talking to the next person you see today or whatever you have on the Lord's to-do list, okay? Just think of it as you're being full of compassion, you're being full of mercy, that you care about the Lord and God cares about the other person that's in front of you. And like, that's broadcast as love to me, you know, like using your 100%. Position, yeah. No matter what it is.
And the hard thing about changing the homepage, like in real life, right? The hard thing for us again was we don't want to scare people off. Well, the cross is going to be offensive to you. Come to it. Not everyone's going to be excited about a homepage that looks like that, but you can feel really good sleeping at night knowing that you've changed the homepage of your site to reflect what God has actually asked you to do with your life and what you actually believe and value. I think part of it too is we want the credit of our own website. We want people to come there and see, you know, broadcastislove.com or whatever our name, our thing is.
Yeah.
We want people to read all about us.
Right.
But what if they were reading about God and we were willing to give God, you know, we say like give God the glory. Sometimes I like to say give God the credit just because it's a less Christianized, I guess, version, a little bit of like, I'm putting credit where credit is due, and credit is due to God.
Yep.
It makes me think about like the word worthy. Like there's another thing I was thinking about when I was on the ship in the middle of the ocean by myself forever. Felt like forever. It's only 14 days. But I was sitting there thinking like, that was the hardest night. Like, am I worthy? God, am I actually worthy? And so I researched what like the Webster definition online, right? Like, what does the world say is worthy?
Yeah.
And it says, worthy is having or showing the qualities or abilities that merit recognition in a specified way. I'm going to say that again, having or showing the qualities or abilities that merit recognition in a specified way. Thank goodness that is not a decent or real definition of worthy. God's definition of worthy has nothing to do with quality or abilities or recognition or merit to be recognized. God is the one who's worthy because of who God is. There's even, I was doing some research on some church websites too. I was trying to find out, you know, why is Jesus worthy? So I put into Google, why is Jesus worthy? And multiple organizations and churches said, because he's accomplished salvation for us. He's, you know, he died on the cross. He saved us. I would argue that's not why Jesus is worthy. Jesus is worthy because Jesus is Jesus. Like, if you're God, you are worthy in and of yourself. You are love in and of yourself. So am I worthy? No, I am aligned with one who is worthy. And I get to experience love and worth and value because he is worthy, not because I'm trying so hard to make myself worthy.
Exactly. Yeah. Start your day in worship. And if you don't understand what Lynn and I are saying, you will. Like, start your day in worship, praising the Lord. Thank him for big and small things, like maybe 5 or 10 things. Thank him for what he's done in your life, but also thank him for who he is. Mm-hmm. And it will change your perspective on Jesus. It will change your perspective on God, who sent his son Jesus to die for us on the cross. Like, God, the creator of everything, like, broke his own heart to send his own son here to die for our sins because he loves us so much. Like, it's just like mind-blowing to me.
100%. And you know, the other thing too about that is like, Jesus dying on the cross is such an intimate, loving, incredible gift from the Father. And the fact that Jesus followed through with it, you know, like, yes, it's one thing to have a rescue mission for all of humankind. It's another thing to actually follow through with it and to be so aligned and in love with the Father that this sacrifice is a choice that you make.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that it's like the Holy Spirit too, obviously being in all of that. Then Jesus dies, rises again, leaves us with the Holy Spirit. And I always like to think, what an intimate gift that is. I mean, can you give a more intimate gift than the actual essence and spirit of yourself that you're depositing into another person? I mean, that is the kindest, most intimate gift I honestly think I've ever gotten in my entire life. That God's like, this is my actual spirit, and you get to, like, it gets to be in you as a deposit, as proof of what's to come. That's as good as it gets.
Yeah. We're so blessed. The one thing that you said, I just want to make sure, you know, I feel like I would miss the boat here if I didn't ask you to encourage the person listening from what the Lord was showing you on your sabbatical about stop doing. Was there anything that the Lord showed you in that you could encourage us with?
Yeah, I think when I think about stop doing, well, okay, let me put it this way. When you stop doing, there will be immediate things that happen, like uncomfortable quiet, potentially, maybe boredom, There's a chance that you may come to the fact to realize you don't have a lot of hobbies, or you don't know what you like anymore, or who you are without fill in the blank, this thing that's been so important to you for so long. It could even be a relationship too. I know we're talking a lot about work, but anything that becomes like an idol, or I can't live without, or the focus of living, or why I'm valuable, those things are all great things to check and potentially take a rest or a sabbatical from. But I do think the main thing that I can encourage the listeners when it comes to stop doing is that, like, God's there at the bottom. There's a safety net. You're not going to fall like further than you can handle. It's really scary to take a step into like nothingness, but God's there right there with that safety net. You're not going to fall down. In fact, you're going to be caught and you're going to be held. And that's actually what you needed all along.
If God is within her, she will not fall. That's a Bible verse. If God is within her, she will not fall. Like, you're not going to fall. It's going to be okay. I mean, it's so funny when I, in my work world, a lot of the times if I just share with them, because I've seen hundreds of people go through this transition, I'm like, you're going to be okay. And it's like the breath of fresh air that they needed. But like, God is not going to let you fall. Like, fall into his arms and let him be your strength. Stop doing it your own way. Stop doing it and striving in your own strength where you're miserable, stressed out, you're having panic attacks, like whatever the thing is, surrender it to Jesus. And literally only, like, Jesus only did what he saw his father doing, period, or wanted him to do. Like, Jesus only did what God, his father, commanded him to do and say. Like, what if we did that?
Yeah. And you're saying that whole idea of, you know, people along the way so worried, and you're like, it's going to be okay. You know, you can encourage them. It's going to be all right. And what do people say? They say, I feel like it would be the end of the world, or I feel like this is the end of the world. So this is kind of the funny thing that I just wanted to share. I know I could feel like I could chat to you forever. And I know that we do eventually have to wrap up, but
yes,
I went to a place that was the end of the world. On my trip, I went to Ushuaia, Argentina, which is literally the end of the world. It's the very bottom tip of South America that you can reach by road. It's a town there at the bottom. After that, it's just going to be ocean and Antarctica eventually. And so it's kind of the joke where it's like, I've experienced the end of the world. I went to the end of the world and it wasn't really that bad. So now that I'm back, I'm like, well, what else is really the end of the world? I think it's going to be okay. I went there and I'm still here to tell the story.
And it's actually beautiful.
Exactly.
And I like the end of the world. And you want to go? Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
The end of the world is great. There's coffee shops. There's restaurants. There's things to do. It's not as bad as it sounds.
Oh, my goodness. I love you. This has been so fun. And we always ask every guest what Bible verse is encouraging them in this season. And I know you shared a scripture earlier. Did you share what Bible verse is encouraging you?
Yes. Yes. I would just love to hang my hat on Hebrews 12. We talked today about verse 1-3, but just that whole idea of the race, the finish line, the Gatorade, that's all right there.
Hebrews 12, 1-2. God. And I love Hebrews. And like Hebrews, coffee shops, Hebrews, Jesus. Okay, sorry. I'm sorry. This is like...
That's another podcast for another day. Or maybe another... Ooh, oh my goodness, that would be a good business idea. We'll talk about this offline, but think about like Hebrews or some type of a Christian coffee shop. I don't hate that idea.
Yeah, I love it. Like, I'm all about... doing Christian businesses, because I'm sorry, but the church is alive and well and people want to dial in. So let's go. Let's put Jesus on your homepage. Okay. All right.
Put Jesus on your homepage.
Yes. Let's pray and we'll just wrap up. Jesus, thank you for today. Father, decrease us and increase you. And I just pray for anything that Lynn does with her work, Lord, that you anoint it and that you make it yours and that you go out and do immeasurably more with it by your strength, power, and might. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Ricky. Love you.
Love you too. Did you want to say any contact information about like how people can connect with you?
Instagram's great. Otherwise, lynnmoyer.com. I've got a little E on the end. So Lynn, LYNNE, moyer.com. And you can connect with me there. I would love for anyone to reach out if they're interested in taking a sabbatical or getting a break or even just hearing about penguins and glaciers. I'm happy to talk to you about whatever you're interested in.
Awesome. Thanks, Lynn. Take care.
Thanks, Ricky. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Hey, this is Dustin, one of the pastors at Grace Bible Church in Sebring, Florida. Thanks for tuning in to listen to Broadcast His Love with Ricky Van Stewart. I hope you will also consider joining us on our podcast as well. Our hope is to encourage you, inspire you, and compel you towards a closer walk with Jesus and one another. You can find us on every platform where podcasts are offered by simply searching for Grace Bible Church Sebring. Again, this is Pastor Dustin, and I hope to get to connect with you very soon.
Hey, this is Mark Stockland, pastor and CEO for Haiti Bible Mission in Jeremy, Haiti. If you'd like to follow along with what we're doing in Jeremy, Haiti, you can check us out at HaitiBibleMission.org. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We'd love to get you guys connected with what we're doing in Jeremy, Haiti, and how you can partner with us to live the difference, to help empower leaders to transform communities. God bless you guys, and have a great day.
Hey everyone, it's Erica with Glassy Day Studio, where we believe every broken, discarded, and disrupted thing will be reclaimed, restored, and redeemed by the one who created and calms the waves. Glassy Day jewelry is shaped from recycled surfboard resin, and each design is named after a woman in the Bible. And 10% of every purchase supports foster care ministries. Check it out at glassydaystudio.com. And thanks for listening. And if this episode has drawn you closer to Christ, please share it with your friends and family, or even one person that might find encouragement in the message and a deeper relationship with Christ. God bless and have a great week.
This is amazing.